Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you. We're so thankful for these times that we have with one another. Very excited that we are starting classes this week as safely as we can. And Tuesday, 11 o'clock class, I know we'll be continuing Genesis. That's where we kind of ended before, so that's where we're going to pick up with Genesis. I think Danny's going our Wednesday, and I think he's mentioned parables to me. I think he's going to be focusing on the parables of Jesus. So we're very looking forward to that. This morning's lesson is inspired by a proverb, a proverb we find in Proverbs 28, verse 1. It says, "The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." For some reason, I sometimes feel like that gets twitched. The righteous flee when no one pursues, but the evil ones or the wicked ones are as bold as a lion. Our topic this morning is the topic of boldness. And I think it's a hard topic because I think a lot of times people associate things with boldness that I don't think are associated with boldness. Such as aggressiveness. I don't think aggressiveness is boldness. I also don't think arrogance is a substitution for boldness. As we want to make sure that we understand the term as bold as a lion. You know, if you try to look up that word, particularly trying to get a Bible definition, it says boldness is an attitude of strong confidence in God, such that godly things are said and done openly without fear of consequences. Boldness is the attitude of a strong confidence in God, such that godly things are said and done without fear of the consequences. Certainly, boldness is needed in this world. If you look up boldness just in the dictionary, it's showing the ability to take risks or confident and courageous. You know, there's a lot of different definitions for boldness. The one that I've kind of come to the conclusion of is that boldness is confidence and courage to do that which is right. Confidence and courage to do that which is right. Perhaps you're thinking this morning, and you start to think, and you're like, whoa, confidence, courage to do that which is right despite the consequences. That is a high charge for the righteous. The righteous are to be as bold as a lion. Perhaps you're feeling like, I don't feel that bold. I don't feel like I always have that confidence. I don't always feel like I have that courage. So the question that I came to is, how can we increase our boldness? Is that even possible? How can I increase my boldness? How can I become more confident? How can I gain more courage to do that which is right despite the consequences? You know what? I think the Bible actually gives that answer. And Acts chapter 4 is where we're going to spend the remainder of our time. I almost ended up calling it the boldness chapter because we see that word boldness come up again and again in Acts chapter 4. That's where we're going to be spending our time. How can we increase our boldness? I certainly think that boldness is a Christian quality. And if you look at Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 1 and you think about it for a second, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Question, if we reverse that, is the world a better place? Is the world a better place when the righteous flee when no one pursues and the evil, the wicked, are bold as a lion? Is that a better world? Certainly, I think that Christians should be bold. Certainly, we should try to fulfill that definition of being confident, having courage to do those things which are right. In chapter 4, I think we're going to find a template on how we can be bolder, how we can increase our boldness. But before we get to chapter 4, I kind of want to set up some of the context. In chapter 3, we have Peter and John. And Peter and John are preaching, and they're doing miracles. And in chapter 3 of Acts, starting in the beginning of chapter 3, we see that Peter and John heal a lame man. And this man is healed, and they are preaching Jesus about Jesus' resurrection. They are preaching the truth. And all of a sudden, when they start getting attention, the Sanhedrin, this council, kind of starts eyeballing them. And they are preaching, they are teaching, that's clearly what they're going throughout chapter 3. They heal a lame man. In chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, we see what happens to Peter and John. It says, "Now as they spoke to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them into custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men that came to be about 5,000. We have Peter and we have John preaching. We have them teaching about Jesus, and they're also performing miracles, but they are arrested. And the question that comes to my mind is, what is their crime? And we're going to see the crime that's laid out. I think the crime that's laid out is they're speaking about Jesus. You start to think about that, and you start to consider that. You ask yourself the question, could you ever see yourself being arrested? Well, you're like, well, we live in America, and I try to obey the law of the land. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 tells us to obey the law of the land. A Christian should do that. And maybe you would bring up Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, where it says we should try to live peaceably with all men. But when you look at the crime of Peter and John, I think you come to the conclusion of their crime is talking about Jesus. Their crime is speaking about Jesus. Could you ever see yourself being arrested? Certainly I would not want to be arrested. But certainly when I look at Christians of the past, and I look at our brothers and sisters in Christ in other countries, they are bold, they have courage, they have confidence to speak about Jesus despite the consequences. The consequences come to Peter and John in chapter 4. They are arrested. It's interesting how our world gets everything in reverse. It seems right now it's a crime to be bold about Jesus. It's a crime to be bold about Jesus, to have confidence in Jesus, to have courage in relation to serving Jesus, to do the right thing even when it's hard, even when there could be consequences. But I think these men are ready. I think these men, as we start to see them be arrested, and that we start to see their interactions, we start to see their boldness come forth. If you look at chapter 4, verses 8 through 11, Peter starts speaking with these individuals. He starts talking. It says, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well? Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. I mean, Peter, he is being forceful. I think he's being bold. I don't think he's being aggressive. I don't think he's being arrogant. He's saying exactly what he believes, that Jesus is the only way that we can be saved. Well, who's he talking to? Well, he's been arrested. It looks like they stay in prison tonight, and now they're in front of the Sanhedrin. And he says this to the Sanhedrin. Well, who's the Sanhedrin? The Sanhedrin is about 71 individuals that are kind of the religious elite. We'd almost call it like a Supreme Court. The Sanhedrin, 71 individuals, like your Jewish rulers, a few Sadducees, a few Pharisees, and this council, Peter is before, he's been arrested, and they said, why are you even talking about this Jesus? He said, this Jesus who you crucified is the Messiah, and he is the only name which will lead us to salvation. We can start to see the boldness of these individuals. We see that he is very upfront. And I think this boldness that these men demonstrate is a very similar boldness that we need today. A confidence and a courage to do that which is right, despite the consequences that might come. As I look out in our society, certainly I think we would agree that things have at least changed over the course of the last few years. As we look out, certainly, I ask many questions and I think many things, but one thing that I think is, has the Christian lost their boldness? Are the righteous as bold as a lion, or has that somehow been lost? The confidence and courage to do that which is right despite what will happen. I think in our country, in my personal opinion, I'd say that Christianity has an all-out assault on it at this time. the principles, the ideas, the values of Christianity are under attack. In fact, it seems like a Christian is the number one enemy of society. We don't want you here. We don't like what you're saying. We don't like your values. We don't like your principles. Please go away. Will Christians be bold in that day? Do we demonstrate the same level of boldness of these two individuals as they stand before the Sanhedrin? As they stand before these religious elites of the day, as they stand before these 70, 71 individuals, and they're standing there and they're saying, we believe in Jesus Christ, the one you crucified, the one that we have put our trust in. We start to see their boldness unfold. We see their confidence. We see their courage. We see them doing what's right, despite being arrested and being before these individuals that have a lot of power. In fact, we can look throughout history and we can see the power of this council and things that they did religiously, but also physically. And we start to think about some of the things that all of these individuals were involved in as Jesus makes his way to the cross. Certainly these individuals have power. Our topic is boldness. How can we build up? How can we increase our confidence and courage to do those things that are right? As this interaction unfolds, I think we can see three things that we can do to increase our boldness. So their interaction starts, Acts chapter 4. I'm going to pick up in verse 13. Peter has just said these things. He said there's salvation in no other name. He's being very bold. He's showing confidence. He's showing his courage. He's doing what's right, even though he knows this council could do all kinds of things to him. They're going to threaten him, we're going to see in the passage. But certainly they have power to go far further than that. Verse 13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed a mighty deed has been done. What's interesting is when Peter says this, the council immediately sees something in Peter. What does the council see? The council sees boldness. They see the confidence of Peter. They see the courage of Peter. And they know all the things that they can do to Peter. Peter knows all the things that the council can do to Peter. And yet he does what's right despite. I wonder if we stood before the Sanhedrin, what they would see in us. Would they see our boldness? Would they see our confidence and our courage? What would they see if we stood before such a council? Now, what I think is interesting is what is the boldness tied to? They're drawing their conclusion. They're looking at Peter and they're asking themselves the question, how is this man standing before all 70 of us and where is his confidence and his courage coming from? Because they make some conclusions. They say, he's not educated. He's not trained. Where is his confidence coming from? Where is this coming from? And you know what conclusion they come to? They say, he's been with Jesus. That is the first way, I think, a Christian can grow their boldness. For lack of a better phrase, not to use that. To increase our boldness, one way we can increase our boldness is to be with Jesus. That is what they say. They're like, how else could Peter be bold? It's not because he's an educated man. No, no, no. It's not because he's a trained man. It's because he's been with Jesus. Peter has a confidence. He has a courage to do those things that are right. Why? Because he's been with Jesus. That's the conclusion that these individuals are coming to. There are many people out there that are educated and they're trained. But that is not what is tied to boldness here. The connection to boldness is a connection with being with Jesus. You know, Paul, he was with Gamaliel. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 3, it says, Paul's like, I studied under Gamaliel. Yet certainly that would build your confidence, but that's not what we're talking about. Certainly you can think of Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a trained and educated. We have Peter standing in front of them and he's giving a rebuttal. No, he's not trained. He's not educated. Where's his confidence coming from? Where's his courage coming from? Because he's been with Jesus. That is one way that I think that we can increase our boldness. They realized that Peter and his responses were connected to Jesus. Not his education, not his training, but being with Jesus. In fact, these men had been with Jesus probably for about 3.5 years, and we have an opportunity to really be with Jesus for far longer than that. Well, what do you mean? We have the entire Word of God. We can be with Jesus. We can be in contact with Jesus and His teachings. And that can affect us. And when we study about Jesus, what can that do? That can help increase our boldness. It can help our confidence. It can help our courage to do those things that are right. Why? Because we have been with Jesus. The psalmist said in Psalm 1 and verse 2, it says, "But His delight is the law of the Lord. And in His law, He meditates day and night." We have an opportunity to be with the words and the teachings of the Bible day and night. Psalm 119 and verse 97, it says, "Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day." We can be with Jesus all the time. In fact, you know, you think about the access we have to Jesus, we can hear His lessons. We can hear His parables. We can see His miracles over and over again. We can spend time with Jesus just like these men had. And because these men had spent time with Jesus, they had more courage, they had more confidence, they had boldness to do that which is right, even though they know a lot of the consequences that could come their way. We can have a boldness like these men. Or you say, "Well, I can't physically be with Jesus." These things are written so we can believe that Jesus was the Christ. In John chapter 20, verse 31, it says, "But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may live in His name." We can have a very close and intimate relationship with Jesus if we would just pick up His Word. We can be with Jesus just like these men. And because of that, our confidence can grow, our courage can grow to do those things which are right. I don't want you to miss it. The boldness of Peter and John was not linked to their education. It wasn't linked to their training. It was linked to Jesus Christ. And the council acknowledged that. They said, "Look at the boldness of these men. It's not because they're educated. It's not because they're trained. It's because they've been with Jesus. They knew exactly where their confidence came from. They knew exactly where their courage came from. They knew exactly why these men were standing there in opposition." At least when they had a chance to tell them and express their views on that. Their boldness was increased. And then I have other questions that kind of go through my mind as I think about this subject, as I think about boldness and these things. What did Peter and John have that I don't have? And honestly, I think when we look at it, we have very similar things. We both have an opportunity to be with Jesus. Certainly theirs was physically, but we have an opportunity to be with Jesus every day. We have the same access. So who's saying that I cannot have the boldness of Peter and John? That's one way that we can certainly increase our boldness is by spending time with Jesus. Let's continue on the passage. Acts chapter 4. I'm going to drop down to verse 18. There's a little back and forth that's going. Of course, they say, what are we going to do to these men? What are we going to do to these men in verse 16? But I'm going to pop down to verse 18. It says, "So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge, for we cannot speak but the things which we have seen and heard.'" So it appears they send them away and they say, "Hey, what are we going to do to these guys?" They have courage. They have confidence. And in fact, it looks like they're willing to die for what's right. What can we possibly do? They come to the conclusion we're going to threaten them. So they call them back and they say, "We don't want you to speak any more about Jesus." And we see their response in verse 19. "But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot speak but the things which we have seen and heard.'" What are the men saying? This is the way I take it. It might not be the perfect way to take it, but this is the way I take it. We can't help but speak the truth. Isn't that what they're saying? We can't but speak the things that we have seen and heard. We can't help but speak the truth. And you know something else that I think can increase our boldness, help our boldness to grow, is be tied to the truth. If you're tied to the truth, doesn't that boost your confidence? Doesn't that boost your courage? Doesn't that help you to do what is right when you know you are connected with the truth? That's what these men are saying. What do you want us to do? Speak no more about Jesus. We can't but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We can't help but speak the truth. We know it to be true. You want us to go out and just be liars for the rest of our life? We know this to be true, and we're willing to die for it. When we are standing with truth, I believe that we are more bold. See, Peter and John, they're before this religious council. 70 individuals. They should back down. They should retreat. They should concede. They should be pushed aside. No! They stand there with their confidence and their courage. Why? Because they're standing with the truth. I see these individuals. I see their boldness. I see their conviction. Where did it come from? Number one, they spent time with Jesus. That increased their boldness. Number two is they are standing and they realize they are connected with the truth. Isn't Jesus connected with truth? John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is connected with truth. If we stand with Jesus, we stand with the truth. And certainly that can boost our boldness. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. John chapter 17, verse 17. If you stand with the truth, that can do a number for your boldness. I did my first lesson probably around 17. I know that sounds bad that I can't remember, but stuff, I forget how old I am sometimes. My wife makes fun of me. There's a certain thing, it doesn't matter when the first was, it just matters that it was there. But I started preaching, and people said, you preach with a boldness. And I thought about that for a long time. It was never necessarily, but then I started to realize where my boldness came from. It's not me. Where does my boldness come from? Because I've spent time with Jesus. Where does my boldness come from? Because I know that I'm aligned with truth. That's why my boldness, it's got very little to do with me. It's got a lot more to do with God. Because God is on our side. And when God is on your side, it should increase your boldness. It should increase your confidence. It should increase your courage to do that which is right. See, as a 17, 18-year-old, when I went out and preached, what in the world could a 17, 18-year-old have hardly no life experience, hardly no knowledge of the world, all these things. What could I possibly say? 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. If any man speaks, let him speak of the oracles of God. See, really, I'm just a mouthpiece. I'm just trying to take the Bible, and I'm trying to shoot it through me. I'm just the cup. I'm just the vessel. It's not really I'm that special. It's God. And all that's coming from God. These men were bold because they spent time with Jesus. These men were bold because they knew they were connected with truth. And when I was preaching and I was younger and I was afraid, and still I am afraid, when I got up, my heart was beating, just like it always does. Always. But when I got up and I would preach something and somebody would say something and they'd say, well, I don't agree with what you say here. And I'd go, well, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 19 and let's take a look. It's not me. It's God. These men could be bold before the Sanhedrin because they stood with truth. They were linked with truth, and they understood the connection which they had. You think of that. When you stand with truth, I think it really helps your boldness. I think it increases your boldness, and God has given us these tools. I look at these men, I see their conviction, and I see their courage. And when you look up the definition of courage, you'll get different definitions, but the definition that I get drawn to is the one that goes like this. It says, courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the assessment that something is more important than your fear. Courage is not the absence of fear, but it's the assessment that something is more important than your fear. And I think that's the Christian life. There's a lot of things I'm afraid of. I'm great at speaking. Oh, I don't believe that kind of thing. Well, you go back to Dewey Avenue, and you talk to this old lady named Ruth Eddy, and she'll tell you how I wouldn't get out of the car to get my beanie baby from her. Because she would give beanie babies to people in church. All you had to do was go by her house, and, you know, and he said Kyle would not get out of the vehicle, so he would not get his beanie baby, you know. And I think that was fine. I think she was trying to teach me some lessons there. But you think about that. You think about those things. You think about as you go through life that courage is not the absence of fear. You're always going to have fear of some type, right? Even if it's as silly as something like that, as I don't want to go talk to somebody. But some things in life, your fear is not as important. Right? Like preaching. I have a fear of preaching, but you know what? Not preaching, you know, it's more important to preach. There's things in our lives that are more important than our fears. And that's what these men are showing. I really don't think that these men were superhuman. I'm pretty sure that if you could listen to their internal dialogue, if they're like, look at this, look at the problem we're in now. 70, we're before the Sanhedrin, what are we going to do? Well, God was with them. They knew that they were aligned with truth, and certainly that helped with their boldness. The man of the Sanhedrin could kill them, torture them, threaten them. You know, how are these men going to respond? They certainly responded with courage. They made the assessment that things were more important than the fears that they had. But when you're aligned with truth, it does increase your boldness. It increases your confidence and your courage to do that which is right. I remember a situation when I was younger with my dad, and my dad was something had happened at the house, as things tend to do. and some things were broken. And let's just say, it was not me. And that was the truth. But what really made a difference is when my dad started having the conversation with him. He's like, how did this get broke? And when he looked at me, he saw a confidence. Not the confidence of a liar. He saw courage. Not the courage of a liar. He saw something that day where when I told him, hey, I didn't do this, it was the truth. I really didn't know what happened that day. I mean, things got broken all the time, but that day, I did not know. I was aligned with truth. And when I stood before my dad, I had that boldness. I had that confidence. I did not do it. I had that confidence, but also that courage connected with it. And he could see in that situation, of course, he didn't always trust me, but this time he did. He saw something. Just like the Sanhedrin were seeing something, these men, what were they seeing? They were seeing the boldness. How is Peter standing here so confident? How is Peter standing here with this courage, even though we could do all these things to him? They were thinking about it. Not because they're educated, not because they're trained, because they've been with Jesus and they're aligned with truth. And because of that, they would not back down. Certainly there's a lot of lessons that we can take from these individuals, but I really believe the devil is working on people at all times. You know the devil's working on your conviction. He's working on your belief in Jesus Christ. He's working on how much you believe in, how much you want to do in service to Jesus. The devil's working on that. You know what else the devil's working on? He's working on your courage. He's not only working on your courage, he's certainly working on your boldness, and he's working on your confidence. Isn't the devil good in those areas? The devil's very good at tearing down our confidence. The devil is very good at tearing down our courage. The devil is good at tearing down our boldness. And I think we have to ask the question from time to time, does he have a place in my life? In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27 it says, nor give place to the devil. The devil is very good at what he does. He's trying to silence the gospel. Oh, that's not socially appropriate to talk about. That's not a topic that should be brought up here. This is not something that should be discussed. Actually, Christians, you just stay over here. Don't say anything about all these things that are going on in the world. You just stay over there. We don't need you to say anything. Where's the boldness? Where's the confidence and courage to do those things which are right, even despite the consequences? Now, I want to be very careful. I don't think boldness is aggressiveness. When I look at Peter and John, I don't think they're being aggressive. I think they are being bold. Now, sometimes a attack that's waged towards us as Christians is a lot of times that we're arrogant. And there's only so much that we can do with that. But I heard this definition one time. It's always stuck with me. What's the difference between confidence and arrogance? What's the difference? Confidence is when you can back it up, and arrogance is when you can't. I always like that definition. Confidence is when you can back it up. Arrogance is when you can't. When Peter and John are standing before the Sanhedrin and they say all these things, and they're really going after the Sanhedrin a little bit, we see their boldness, we see their confidence, we see their courage. Their confidence. Can they back it up? Peter and John all by themselves couldn't back it up, but you know what? With God. Because they spent time with Jesus and they were lying with truth, yes, they could back it up. We can back stuff up with truth. And I think that's a dangerous thing in our society. I'm not saying that we don't have to be careful of that perception. I think we do have to be careful of the perception of arrogance. But I think that is a clear, distinct difference. When we look at Peter and John, they can back up the things that they're saying. They're ready. They want to defend. They say, please ask us about Jesus. Please ask us about defending Jesus and the resurrection. They want to ask, but they won't. We want a chance to defend. Do we want a chance to defend the faith? Do we want a chance to defend the faith? I'm certainly not perfect. I know God knows that very well. His grace and forgiveness has probably been given out more on me than perhaps others. But I have a desire to stand with the truth. And when you have a desire to stand with the truth, when you're aligned with truth, it can certainly increase your confidence. It can certainly increase your courage to do those things which are right. I think boldness is a Christian trait. And I think we need a little more of it in times such as these. And sometimes, you know, you look out in the world, and I ask myself, who is more bold, the evil or the righteous? Who is more bold? It's so sad because God gives us the tools to be bold. He gives us the tools to increase in boldness. He gives us the tools that we can have our confidence raised. He gives us the tools that our courage can be raised, but we don't utilize the tools. So sometimes, I think sometimes it appears that the evil is the lion and not the good. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. How can the righteous be as bold as a lion? Because they spent time with Jesus. Not only have they spent time with Jesus, but they are aligned with truth. And we get to our last point this morning, is that I think we can increase our boldness by praying. The Sanhedrin threaten them, and they say, we don't want you to speak any more about Jesus, but they let them go. And in chapter 4, I'm going to pick up in verse 24, we see how they respond. They leave the Sanhedrin, Peter and John do. And
that's going to do some damage.
There we go. Chapter 4, verse 24, it says, so when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heavens and earth, and the sea, and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage, and did the people plot vain things, and the kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness that they may speak your word. What did they do? Now, we're not going to be granted the same thing that they're granted. Okay, we know the period of miracles has ceased, but they are going to be granted, I think, with boldness. I think they're going to be given. They're going to be granted with this confidence. They're going to have this confidence. They're going to have this courage to do those things that are right. And I think some of it comes from our relationship with Jesus and understanding our relationship with Jesus. Now, we're going to see that they have the ability to do miracles. We understand that that time has ceased and passed. But I still think, is a prayer for boldness a bad thing? These people prayed for it. They prayed for boldness. They prayed for confidence. They prayed for courage to do those things that are right. Another way I think we can increase our boldness is by praying about it. That's what these individuals did. If they had been through quite a situation, they had been arrested, they spent a night in jail, then they have had this altercation with the Sanhedrin where they're threatening them and saying, hey, don't speak any more about Jesus. They know the power behind those threats. They leave, and then they pray to God. And they ask God for boldness. you know, I don't want this to be a discouraging lesson. I think you can actually find this to be encouraging. Is when the church started, it was under extreme persecution. It was under all of these attacks. We can see the persecution coming from the Jews. We see Saul of Tarsus, all his persecution. We see the Roman authorities and their persecution. What got the church through? I think boldness. I think boldness is for good times and bad times. I'm not saying that we're not smart about it. We also see that the Christians would flee when they were persecuted and they would take the word of God with them. But I think they were always willing to say it. They were always willing to do those things which were right. Even in Christians' darkest times, we have the light. We have the light of Jesus. In John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "And Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." I don't think there's anything wrong with praying for boldness, praying for confidence, praying for courage to do that which is right. We know prayer is powerful. James chapter 5 and verse 16, we see that the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. But certainly boldness is a topic that we need from time to time. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 6, it tells us, it says, "He himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Verse 6 in Hebrews chapter 13 says, "So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Boldness is certainly not an easy trait to have. It's certainly a trait I'm working on, boldness. The idea of having confidence and courage to do those things that are right, even despite the consequences. And I think the God of heaven can certainly help us with our boldness if we pray for it. In Psalm 138, verse 3, it says, "In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul." Certainly the God of heaven can grant us boldness. Certainly the process of praying for boldness and bringing it to our mind will let us think about our lives and how we can perhaps be more confident and courageous in our quest to serve Christ. Has Christianity ran out of salt? Has Christianity ran out of light? Not if Christ and his followers have anything to say about it. You will have your opportunity, but my guess is your opportunity is not going to be before 70. It might just be before one. A moment in your life where certainly you have to take on the confidence that we should have as Christians. A moment where you have to take on the courage that we should have as Christians and do that which is right. Your moment before the Sanhedrin. Your moment to be bold. Your moment to do that which is right. I don't want you going away from this lesson and thinking that the boldness that we have as Christians is tied to ourselves. If you think to the 3 points that we considered, they're all connected to Christ. Kyle cannot be bold because of Kyle. Kyle can only be bold because of his relationship with Jesus. Because I have spent time with Jesus through his inspired word. Because I'm tied to Jesus' truth, I can be bold. And also because I ask God for help when it comes to boldness. All those are connected to God. My confidence and my courage come from God. It does not come from myself. When I think about becoming a Christian, I don't know if there's too many more acts that are more bold than that. When you become a Christian, are you being confident? Yes, you're being confident. Not in yourself, but being confident in the abilities of God. When you become a Christian, do you have to have courage? Yes, you have to have courage. You have to realize that you have these fears, but something's more important than those fears. And you realize you have to do that which is right. Perhaps you need to do that this morning. You need to have a bold moment and become a Christian. Certainly, we need bold moments throughout our lives. If you need the prayer of the church, you need to become a New Testament Christian, we ask you to please come as we stand and as we sing.